Every human being is created in God's image and should be protected by love and by law. I invite you to join me Saturday, February 1st for the 15th annual Treasure Coast March for Life. The event will begin at 1 p.m. at 12th and Delaware with speakers, followed by a peaceful march to Fort Pierce City Hall at 2:15 and a life chain at Fort Pierce City Hall from 2:45 to 3:30. For more information, visit Treasure Coast March for Life on Facebook.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Long.
Often when I have preached a pro-life sermon, a woman will come up to me and mention that she had an abortion. That is a confession of an acknowledgement that abortion, the taking of an innocent human life, is sin. And we know that that is a necessary step to acknowledge that you have sinned. It's a necessary step to receive forgiveness. These women that have come up to me I've never looked at one and said, well, I could think that you probably would have had an abortion because you look like that type of person. No, I'm not looking at people judgmentally. Also, but when we look at those that we come in contact with in America, about 1/3 of every woman that you come in contact with, 1 out of every 3 women that you come in contact with has had an abortion. Even in churches, 1 out of every 3 of the women that you come in contact with has had an abortion. Many of those who have had an abortion are still living in denial. They haven't received the forgiveness of God because they haven't admitted that they have sinned and they haven't asked God to forgive them. Many of those are hiding from the truth. And some of those are going to churches. Many are going to churches that will not preach the truth on this issue, that are not giving the women the opportunity to repent of their sins and to accept the forgiveness of God. One of my friends, I have several friends, but one of my friends that is pro-life and has had an abortion, not just one abortion, but I believe 5 abortions, is Michelle Herzog. And on her blog, she writes this: on January 22nd, 1973, human beings at a certain age lost their personhood. It was stripped from them, and all power fell into the hands of the woman to decide who would live and who would die in this country. Truly, anyone born since 1973 is a survivor, a true survivor, as it is completely legal to be killed if you are still in the womb. And we know that now there are some states that are advocating killing the child. Even Virginia is advocating killing the child outside of the womb. She goes on, my extreme passion comes, of course, from the Lord, as it is clear that He loves the little children and wants us to lay our lives down for others. We are also to love our neighbor, and those little ones are my neighbor. Proverbs 31:8 tells us to speak up for those who have no voice. And truly, these babies have no voice. We are their voice and their advocate. My other passion comes from my experience with abortion. I was one of those women who walked into an abortuary. I could go into my story on how I ended up at one of those centers that make their money off of killing innocent little children, but I never want to sound like a victim. Because of my utter rebellion and entering into a sinful lifestyle, little children lost their lives. It is because of the kindness of the Lord that led me to repentance that I am alive today. Did the abortion affect me? Yes, I did. I didn't want to live anymore. A piece of me died the first time I left an abortion center. But what's worse are the little innocent children that die a brutal death. Of course, abortion would affect anyone. You go in and hand money over to someone to stop the beating heart of an innocent human being. We all know that there is a child inside, growing inside a womb. And after the after effects of abortion are truly devastating and destroying and devastating our society. As I said, on June 29, 1986, my life completely changed. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus, completely delivered from drugs and drinking. But it took 2 years to deal with the abortions. It was my hidden secret, and I was afraid to let anyone know about them in fear that they would not want to be around me. I went to Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, and Dr. D. James Kennedy was my pastor. He spoke on the evils of abortion quite often, but also in an absolute loving but firm way. Each time, though, I would sneak out the back of the church. But what I did hear seeped into my heart, and each time God used it. She also goes on to mention that she became a part of Overtown Bible Club in Overtown, the inner city of Miami, and that while there, she was working with people that were involved in protecting innocent human life from abortion and were involved in actually bringing others in that were protecting innocent human life from abortion. And she remembers that there was a night where they were together and she heard from Ed Martin, Pastor Ed Martin, that he had spent time and spent time with him. He shared about the Holocaust in our land, and their hearts were so touched and broken at the shedding of innocent blood. She goes on, "I remember the night so well. We all sat around the table, and Rob and Brian were sharing about the trip, and I was terrified. I was shaking. No one knew about my abortions. I was hiding my secret with clenched fists. But as they talked, I felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit encouraging me to confess my sin of abortion. I finally blurted out, 'I've had abortions.' I fully expected them to tell me to leave, but instead Jody, Rob, and Brian surrounded me, laid hands on me, and prayed for me. I confessed and repented of my sin with weeping and sackcloth and ashes. The shackles fell off. Satan did not have me bound anymore. I will forever be grateful to Jody, Rob, and Brian. For in the ghetto of Miami, I found freedom, and they helped me experience it." Abortion does affect women, the women that have had abortion. In fact, approximately there's physical issues that women deal with. There are emotional issues. There are a myriad of issues that women deal with. Approximately 10% of women undergoing elective abortion will suffer immediate complications. The most common complications that can occur at the time of an abortion are perforation of the uterus, excessive bleeding, infection, embolism, retained tissue, in other words, part of the baby left inside the mother, hemorrhage, cervical injury, endotoxic shock, bogey uterus, failure to recognize an ectopic pregnancy. A survey of post-abortion women found that 28% have attempted suicide. 31% experienced suicidal feelings. 60% commented that the decision to abort made their lives worse. 94% regret the decision to abort. Over 50% of women experience one or more of the following feelings after their abortion: depression, guilt, regret, nervousness, insomnia. After abortion, 24% of women experience complications with later pregnancy. These include excessive bleeding, premature delivery, cervical incompetence, or rupture of the placenta. Women who abort are nearly four times more likely to start abusing alcohol or drugs. Tubal pregnancies, ectopic pregnancies, increase by 30% after one abortion and by 160% after two or more abortions. Approximately 14% of women who have had abortion will miscarry a future pregnancy, and that risk increases by 200% with multiple abortions. The risk of placenta previa, which produces extremely severe life-threatening bleeding during future pregnancies, is increased by 600% after an abortion. Approximately 5% of women who abort develop PID, or pelvic inflammatory disease, within 4 weeks after a first trimester abortion. For patients who have chlamydia infection at the time of abortion, the risk of PID increases to 23%. Women with prior or current PID experience a decrease in fertility and an extended period of pain following an abortion. The analysis of 38 worldwide studies has found a 30% overall increase in the risk of breast cancer after abortion. The risk of breast cancer is 90% for abortions performed after 18 weeks and is 150% if the woman is under 18. The greater risk of medical complications for women under 20 than for women between the ages of 25 to 29. There's 150% greater risk of cervical injury as a result of aborting or abortion for women under 20 than for women over 30 years of age. A teenage girl is 10 times more likely to attempt suicide if she has had an abortion in the last 6 months. And women who have had one abortion are four times more likely to abort a later pregnancy than women with no abortion history. And the more severely ill a psychiatric patient, the worse is her post-abortion state. So we see that this abortion, which is supposed to have brought freedom and independence and good things to women and to be liberating, is something that actually has caused a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And there are millions of women in America right now that are dealing with the guilt of abortion, that have not yet confess their sin and ask God to forgive them of their sins. And there are many things that we, in many areas and many levels that we do, all need to repent of. Even those who haven't personally been involved in abortion, as we'll see here later. But when we talk about this, the first commandment that we actually violate, the first commandment of God that we violate, those who commit abortion violate with abortion, is actually the first commandment in the Ten Commandments. in Exodus chapter 20, verses 23, or excuse me, chapter 20, verses 2 through 3, we read, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. When we live our lives the way we want to live them, when we violate God's commandments, we are putting something in front of God. And every woman, every man that has an abortion, every woman that has an abortion, every man that it encourages abortion, every father or mother that encourages their daughter to abort, to kill their preborn grandchild, is guilty of putting something above God, of putting wealth, of putting prosperity, of putting their future, of putting their body, of putting their financial status, of putting their reputation above God. And we need to repent of that sin. Also, the seventh commandment, which is, you shall not commit adultery. Now, we know that it is impossible for a woman to become pregnant without engaging in promiscuity. Now, in some cases, a woman is raped. In that case, the rapist is the one that is guilty. But in many cases, in fact, the vast majority of abortions are performed on couples who engaged in sexual intimacy outside of marriage, very often outside of marriage. And what we see is we see premarital sex. We see also adulterous relationships. And this is a violation of God's commandments. We are to wait until marriage for physical intimacy, and then we are to be faithful to our spouse in marriage. And it is no consequence, no coincidence that the abortion decision followed the sexual revolution. You see, when you start having people that say, we're going to do whatever we want to do with whomever we want to do it, when people start saying that and start living that way, there are consequences, and those consequences are little boys and girls that are innocent, that haven't done anything wrong, that need that want to live. The solution, quote unquote solution, that has been portrayed is shedding innocent blood, the killing of innocent children. And that leads us to the next commandment of God, the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Abortion, every abortion is murder. Abortion takes the life of an innocent human life, of an innocent human being. Our Constitution recognizes that no person should be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. The Declaration of Independence says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Every abortion takes the life of an innocent human life, human being, unless that abortion is not successful. In the rare case that abortion is not successful and a baby is born, in many cases in America, the baby is left to die. Thankfully, we do have some that are alive today that have survived abortion, including my friend Gianna Jessen. But the guilt goes beyond even those who have been involved in abortion. And when we talk about being involved in abortion, we're talking about the mother of the child that is aborted. We're talking, obviously, about the abortionists. We're talking about the abortion workers. We're talking about the father of the baby that's being aborted. We're talking about the grandparents of the baby that's being aborted, who very often are encouraging their own grandchild to be killed, their daughter to kill their own grandchild. We also see others, maybe friends that would actually drive their their friend to an abortion clinic or support their friend through an abortion. There are a whole bunch of levels of guilt when we deal with this. And then there are those who say, well, I'm not involved in that type of lifestyle. I don't live that way, at least not anymore. I have not been participating. I have never fathered a child that's been aborted or been the mother that's gone into an abortion clinic. But what we deal with here and what we see is that God actually requires that we defend innocent human life. We've talked about this from Proverbs chapter 24, that we are to rescue those unjustly sentenced to death. When innocent blood was shed in the land of Israel, what needed to happen for that innocent blood to be forgiven is that the elders, and you can read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 21, the elders of the land had to actually come before the priest, and they had to there had to be a sacrifice, and they had to wash their hands over the blood of a heifer, and they had to be able to pray that they did not shed the blood. Our hands have not shed this blood, nor did we know that this was happening. If they knew it was happening, it wasn't just enough. It wasn't good enough to just not kill. It was also required that they not stand idly by and allow the death to happen. We have a responsibility to protect the innocent human life. We are our brother's keeper, and we need to protect all innocent human life. So we all are guilty. In America, we can't pray this prayer. We can't say, I did not know that this was happening. Every single person in America, we all know that abortion exists, and we know we can even look in the phone book and see where it happens. We are guilty of standing by and allowing innocent human life to be taken. And we need to repent of our sins. We also see that it is very important, and one of the things that happens today, Michelle Herzog was someone that came to Christ and heard the truth about abortion from her pastor and also from her friends in the mission and from others that were speaking out on abortion. Michelle Herzog, what if she had gone to a church that didn't want to speak on this issue? What if she had gone to a church that failed to tell the truth? What if she had gone to a church that didn't proclaim the truth of God's word on this issue, that every innocent human life should be protected? What if she didn't hear the truth? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? But we could add in our culture today, and certainly without twisting scripture or even adding anything to scripture, and we'll talk about this later, perhaps next week even, but we could actually add, how shall people repent of their sins if those who are sent refuse to tell them the truth? If those who are sent refuse to show them their sin and to call them unto repentance, how shall people repent if those who are preaching are not willing to call them unto repentance? This is critical. And we have millions and millions of women in our churches today, in our pews today, that are in bondage, that are living under this guilt of knowing they have participated in the death of their own child and are actually living with that guilt, and they're allowed to continue to perpetuate that guilt because they have failed, because their pastors have failed to tell them the truth. And why would they fail to tell them the truth? Well, if they tell them the truth, people are going to complain. People may stop leaving the church. People will threaten to leave the church. I remember years ago, we had my dad preached a pro-life message, and a man came to him afterward and told him that if he preached one more pro-life message, he was going to leave. So what did my dad do the next Sunday? He preached a pro-life message, and the man left and went to another church who also preached a pro-life message. And so he came back to our church for a little while, but then went and found another place where his ears could be tickled, where he could hear what he wanted to hear, where he didn't have to remember, and he didn't have to be brought to remembrance. Probably he was involved in an abortion in the past. Probably he had violated God's commandments in this way. Maybe he had encouraged a woman to have an abortion. He was not willing to admit his sin and repent of his sin. And pastors are scared of that. And we need to repent of our sins. Everyone needs to repent and turn from our wicked ways and serve the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be set free from our sins, so that even as a nation that we can be set free. We have a huge responsibility and a huge opportunity to, and this is really our only hope in America. If we turn from our wicked ways, if we seek His face, if we cry out to heaven, if we repent of our sins and forgive, ask and God, allow God to forgive us of our sins. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Every human being is created in God's image and should be protected by love and by law. I invite you to join me Saturday, February 1st, for the 15th annual Treasure Coast March for Life. The event will begin at 1 p.m. at 12th and Delaware with speakers, followed by a peaceful march to Fort Pierce City Hall at 2:15, and a life chain at Fort Pierce City Hall from 2:45 to 3:30. For more information, visit Treasure Coast March for Life on Facebook.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years developing these treatments. They may be reached at 772-298-4477 or at atca.ai.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it?